And here we go!
Yes!
This is it again. Welcome everyone to Ignite Rock Podcast. This is where I talk to awesome individuals, inspiring individuals who use WordPress to create something awesome online. I'm your host, Ahmed Khalifa. This is episode 2. It's going to be so much fun because today we have a very interesting interview. I'll be talking to Nate Wright. Nate is a solopreneur who owns his own business called Theme of the Crop, which is a WordPress theme and plugins business catered for the restaurant industry. Very, very interesting. I've known Nate for about a year, maybe under a year. We first met at the local Edinburgh WordPress meetup group, which he also co-organized. So he's quite a heavy member of the WordPress community. And I wanted to talk to him about his business, really, because I found it really interesting. I did help him at times. And we had a chat about how he got into WordPress and came up with the idea of using the restaurant themes industry. Why he chose that particular industry, because he doesn't really have a background in the restaurant industry, but he chose that industry to do it. So we talked to Nate, all the challenges he faced, and he also gave us his own insight and useful advice about your own, really, well, if you want to run your own business, your own theme business. But this can also apply to anyone who is running any kind of business, really. It's a really, really interesting interview, so stick around, and I'm going to be talking to Nate Wright from Theme of the Crop. And here we go. Nate, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I have been meaning to talk to you about what you do. I've told the listeners a little bit in the intro about what you do, but could you just explain to the listeners what is it you do, your background, and how you got to where you are right now?
First, thanks for having me on the show. I run a small themes and plugins shop for WordPress that caters specifically to restaurants. So I sell themes for restaurants, and then I sell a few plugins that are kind of for restaurant needs. One handles reservations, one helps people manage their menus, and then there's a couple that kind of manage business contact details and reviews and things like that. I kind of got into the product business space kind of by chance. I've worked with WordPress for a long time, but kind of on the side doing client work and things like that while I worked a lot for my brother and a bunch of his projects. And then about 3 years ago, he was shutting down a bunch of his work, and so I was losing a bunch of my work. And I just thought, well, why don't I'll build a theme and I'll see if I can sell it. And so I did that, and I just kind of landed on restaurants as a theme to do. And once I built and released that, it kind of seemed obvious to me that it would make sense to stick with restaurants. So since then, I've focused entirely on restaurants and just kind of built up my product suite and stuff.
I was going to ask you about that. Why restaurants in particular? I mean, I know in WordPress, in the themes industry, there are so many categories. And originally, when I heard that you were focusing on the restaurant side of things, I thought you had a background in that area, but it sounds like you don't, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah, in many ways, I've learned a lot over the last 3 years. But yeah, actually, I chose restaurants in large part because I went through the Theme Forest categories. And, you know, Theme Forest will tell you how many sales a theme gets. So I kind of looked at a bunch of the different niches, and I looked at kind of what I thought was a rough relationship between roughly how many sales these themes in each niche were doing versus how many competitors I might have in that niche. And restaurants just, it did a good volume of sales and it didn't have a huge number of competitors. So that's kind of how I chose it. And it was pretty fortuitous because restaurants is actually a fabulous niche to be in if you sell products, because restaurants are always shutting down and starting up and shutting down and starting up. So there's a lot of churn. There's a lot of new websites that need to be built and stuff. So it's a pretty, I'd say of all the sort of niches for WordPress products. It's definitely one of the biggest ones. But I just kind of got lucky there. Good for me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So then, you said you've been in the WordPress industry, you've been using it for a while. Could you remember how did you first get into WordPress? I mean, go way back. What was your first experience like?
Well, my first experience was, I don't even know what version it was, but this would have been 2004. And I looked at it and didn't like it and I didn't use it. I started using it regularly, probably something like 6 or 7 years ago. At that time I was doing really small scale client work. There are things I liked about WordPress, but there are a lot of things I didn't, because WordPress comes with a lot of stuff out of the box. And for a lot of the websites I was doing, it seemed like too much. So I started using another content management system called Silverstripe, which very few people have heard of, but it had a nice concept and it had a nice sort of, like, it was very basic in what it had up front, which made it easier to do just what you wanted to do rather than doing, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff as well. But over the years, I just found all the clients I set up on WordPress, they used it and they excelled and they built their site out. And all the clients that I set up on Silverstripe, the site just sat there and died. And that was sort of my first lesson in, like, why WordPress has such big market share and what's so valuable about it. And that's just how much users are able to intuitively pick up and make use of the WordPress platform in ways that they really can't with other platforms, at least the ones that I've worked with. You know, especially the sort of the part-timer or the person who's maybe only devoting some of their time to it, or a big organization that's maybe running their site on WordPress, but there's only one person, and that's one out of 50 jobs that they have. People were just able to pick it up, figure out what to do with it, and then do new creative things with it. Yeah. And that's what kept the websites alive, you know. I realized after a few years of doing client work that you could build a website and you could put it up and it didn't really do anything. If a website isn't being actively used, it might as well not exist. So that's how I sort of narrowed down on WordPress. And from then on, all my client stuff was WordPress. And then I got into the product space and it was all WordPress as well. So
I can't believe you mentioned Silverstripe. I actually used it years and years ago. It is so basic.
Yeah.
It did the job. I mean, yeah, if you want content on a site, yeah, fine, it did the job, but it's not very, you know, versatile. It doesn't really allow you to grow that much. If you don't have any developers, for example, any access to anyone to help you, yeah, Silverstripe is quite limited to what you can do. But wow, that's a blast from the past.
Well, it's very, because I, you know, being a developer, it's nice. You know, it's nice in that I only have to develop the things that I want and deal with that. And so having the developer skills, that was a really nice feeling, because with WordPress, you know, even if you don't want to blog, you've got a blog, and then you've got categories and tags, and you've got all these things that as a developer you have to style and do all these things to. And so if you have a client who's coming to you for just like a 4-page website, you think, I don't want all this stuff. So it was quite nice for me back in the time. But like you say, you required a developer to do anything.
Yeah, I remember that. Every time, it was for a company when I was working in Germany, and anytime you want to add anything, expand on anything, or to, you know, add new features, it has to be a project. I had to go in, to a specific developer, and it's just a process. It takes ages, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why they chose that one in the first place, so that wasn't my choice. But this is the thing that I kind of face with all the time, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, about why should we choose WordPress. You know, there are a lot of people out there who have doubts about using WordPress, and, you know, they think that maybe it's not for them, or it's only a blogging platform, which is not true. What would you say to those who have doubts about using WordPress? What would you say to them, and why you really shouldn't have any fear about using it as their CMS, as their content management system?
I would say it comes down to like the content creation process. At the core of every website is going to be content. You're managing content and you're developing content. So if you're blogging or if you're, you know, putting up photo galleries or whatever you're doing, there's been a lot of attention put in WordPress on the actual experience of creating and managing content in ways that other platforms don't do nearly as well. I think that's the single most powerful aspect of WordPress. You know, there are lots of platforms which from a technical perspective are great. Many of them even, I would say, better than WordPress, you know. But at the end of the day, a website without content isn't really very valuable. And content is sort of the center of WordPress's whole experience. So
I agree with that, definitely. So then if we go back to your own business, a theme of a crop, are you able to share anything about what you envision the direction that you want to go toward in terms of what you want to do in the future and how you want to kind of progress? What kind of things are you looking to do in the long term? Is there anything you can share with that, or is it all hush hush at the moment?
No, I mean, I'm pretty open about where I'm trying to go. I don't really have like direct competitors. My main competitor is ThemeForest, which if your listeners are familiar with the WordPress theme market, ThemeForest is just like, it's eating up everything in the market. So, but in terms of like other competitors that are focusing on my niche, I don't really have anyone who's really dedicated to it. So I'm not too concerned about any of that. In terms of my direction, I think one of the big struggles I have is in the WordPress product space. For most people, it's a theme shop, which builds themes, or it's like a plugin shop, which builds a plugin or a series of plugins, typically around one particular use. Because what I offer is kind of both, it's been very difficult to sort of find ways to communicate that well, because when people are looking for a theme, they're not thinking about the plugins that they're going to need. Or when they're shopping for a plugin, they're not thinking about getting a theme that's going to integrate really nicely with that plugin. I've got a big kind of site revamp coming up where I'm going to try and sort of change a lot of my presentation and marketing material to focus more clearly on what I offer as like a rounded package. So you can buy just a theme or you can buy just a plugin, but I'm really trying to sell you that combination, because that's when it works together best. You get the most value out of what I offer when they're all kind of working together nicely. So that's the big sort of strategic direction I'm moving in. But the other aspect is just getting work done. Being a solopreneur, I'm always sort of, I've got a massive list of product ideas, feature ideas, theme ideas and everything. And it just takes me a while to get through it because I don't really churn. You know, one of the benefits of being in the product space is I don't have a client who has a deadline. So I get to kind of build things on my terms, which means I get to focus on the craft of it a bit more because I enjoy that side of it. But that means I come out with products a lot slower. So I have been thinking about what kind of ways I can contract out certain kinds of jobs. So, for instance, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Ben Usher Smith. I recently had him do some work on an icon set that I had for a while. And that's a task that's just been sort of on my table for at least 2 years. But I knew I could just hand it off to him and get it done well and get it back. And, you know, given a year or two, I'll definitely earn that investment back, you know. So I've been looking a lot at other ways I can do that with other things. But obviously, there's a lot of complications that come with that.
Yeah, no, of course. I can understand that. I think, what the listeners don't know is that we've worked together on a few things, and I know that you're so, so busy that every time, you know, you've got ideas, you've got suggestions, and you want to implement a number of things, and I work with you with the content side of things, or the SEO, or analytics and stuff like that. And I know you have so much stuff to do. You have so many projects on your list that you're kind of, I wouldn't say struggling, but you're kind of trying to work out which is your priority.
Yeah.
So that's my next question, really. How do you manage it? I mean, being a solopreneur, obviously everything comes down to you. You have to wear all the hats that come to it. How do you deal with it, and what advice would you say to those who are going through the same thing or are planning to go through the same thing?
I think it depends a lot on how urgently you need money. I work part-time for an organization in Vancouver, so I'm not full-time on Theme of the Crop, which has its good sides and its bad sides. I often am tempted to just throw in the other work and focus on Theme of the Crop because I see so much potential there. But the good side of it is I have a reasonable chunk, like a steady chunk of income that I can kind of rely on. And that means that I don't have that pressure to scale and get to, you know, double my sales within the next 6 months kind of thing. So that's the main, you know, I've got this sort of backlog of stuff to do, but I right now with Theme of the Crop and my part-time work, I'm doing pretty well. So I don't have that kind of urgency to get everything done. And I have that, like, I've had that over since I started Theme of the Crop. So it's only maybe a year ago or so that I gave up client work. I was doing client work for quite a while, and I'm not really doing that anymore. So I've been able to kind of ratchet down other things as Theme of the Crop has built up, and that has really helped me juggle sort of like all the things I need to do. Because if I had to go from 0 to 100 in 6 months with Theme of the Crop, it just wouldn't happen. I mean, there's so many things about the growth of Theme of the Crop that just required time. Like one of my biggest inbound channels is my free restaurant reservations plugin. And that's just built up over maybe more than 2 years of just, you know, steady stream of people downloading it and then sticking with it over time. And now it's got more than 10,000 active installs. But wow, for the first year, it took me a year just to build up 1,000. You know what I mean? So a lot of it is just kind of giving it time to grow, which not every solopreneur has, you know, that kind of time and space, especially if you sort of jettisoned everything and gambled on going big, quick. That can be, I reckon, I mean, I don't know a lot of markets, but in the WordPress space, that would be very difficult because it takes a long time to get on people's radar.
No, that makes sense. So then, okay, so what you're saying about, you know, you're working on, obviously you have a plugin as well and your theme and so on. Do you see them as like separate projects in a way, or are they all linked together? I'm assuming they're linked together, really, isn't it? I'm just trying to get an understanding about how you kind of prioritize your work and whether you focus like on, you know, focus on theme for now and then later you focus on plugins, or you focus both at the same time. How did that work?
So every now and then there'll be urgent stuff, like Google just changed its rules around the Google Maps API usage. And that happened, well, it caught me totally by surprise. So when I had a customer, a user post a support request, and they're like, there's an error on my map. And I realized what was going on. That was something I had to do that day, because I knew that day another 100 people would be installing the plugin, and those 100 people would all be faced with the broken plugin. So that kind of stuff crops up a lot. But in terms of like the longer term stuff, I keep paper to-do lists. I've got like really long like Trello boards and stuff full of ideas and everything, but I keep a list of maybe 15 or 20 items, and I usually pick out 3 to 4 priority ones to be working on at any given time. And that usually is based on a mix of like personal desire and sort of guesses about what's going to bring me profit. So one of the things that's on my list is the revamp of my website, which I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and I do think it'll have an impact on my sales, but it's also, to be honest, it's a personal thing. Like, I really dislike my website now. I really want to change how a few things are done, and I want to roll that out with a really good-looking website. So that's near the top of my list. And then really, like, the other things are, like, what do I think is going to bring me the most profit with the shortest amount of work? I knew I needed another theme to start bringing in, because themes kind of, you release a theme and you get a certain amount of traffic for a while, but as it sort of drifts down the list of themes that are out there, that traffic tails off. So I knew I needed one. I've been working on, or I did work on one for a good 6 months, and then I released it back in, I can't even remember now. I think it was late May. No, it was late April or early May. And then I've got, you know, 4 or 5 different plugin ideas, add-ons that will be commercial. And it's really a matter of, like, I think I could turn this thing around in 6 days, and in a year it would pay off this much. But I think this other thing is going to take me a month or two of work. In 2 or 3 years, it's going to take a lot longer to pay off, or whatever. So I'm really looking at it pretty strategically in terms of what's going to give me the most bang for my buck.
Makes sense. It's a business. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. So then, I'm thinking, like...
Sorry. Oh, yeah, that's my dog. like barking at everybody coming home.
If you actually... I'm a dog can go in as well. I don't know how much you can contribute.
He's got a lot of opinions about the WordPress product. So.
If you had to start again then, your whole theme business, what would you do differently?
Yeah. Oh, man. Everything. I mean, I am not a business person. I didn't really set out to be one. But one of the nice things about doing it on my own is that I sort of had to figure things out as I went. So, yeah, probably the biggest thing I would have done is actually started with the idea that I would be doing restaurants. After I made my first theme release, I sort of stuck with that. But really the first year probably was a lot of, like, refactoring of things that I had already kind of done, because I hadn't gone in with the intention to sort of do this. So for my first theme, I'd built a bunch of plugins to do these things, but I had never really considered them as marketing opportunities, even though my plugin set is probably my biggest inbound marketing channel. So I've invested tons of time in redoing all that and releasing it publicly, and iterating on all that. The other thing I probably would have done would have been I kind of figured it out as I went, and I could have done it from the start differently, but I also did it as I went, and that probably worked just as well. But after I released, I figured out about affiliate marketing. I learned about content marketing. I figured out, you know, what Google likes and what it doesn't, which is, you know, mostly it doesn't like me. And I figured out, like, how do I market upsells from a free plugin to premium stuff? Like, how annoying am I willing to be, especially as a former developer, hating upsells in products? I learned how to sort of find that compromise that I was comfortable with and everything. But I think probably the biggest thing, and again, this is just one of those things that takes time, but it's a lot about networking. And, you know, I worked with WordPress for a long time, but I wasn't involved in the WordPress community until I had my business. And then I said, well, I guess I should meet some other people who do WordPress, and I guess I should, you know, talk to some of these other people who are selling WordPress products. And that's actually been probably the overall biggest impact on my work in general. So not just my profit. I mean, it has had an impact on my profits, but also, like, it's had a huge impact on the quality of my products, because I've learned a lot from other people. And the more you're involved with the community, the more you feel a kind of, you have a sense of, like, the problems that are going on, and then you can kind of avoid those in your own work and stuff like that. So I think probably the main, I don't know if I would have started differently, because I'm a big believer in just going for it and figuring it out as you go. But I definitely would have learned all the lessons I learned in 3 years in like 1 year. That would have been nice.
Okay. Well, I kind of agree. You have to start, otherwise you're just going to be procrastinating all the time. And if you don't start now, when are you going to start? Same thing with me doing this, you know, podcasting, whatever. You start, and then you learn as you go along.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, definitely. So you've mentioned, obviously, you know, you being part of a community, and, you know, it helped a lot. And I've mentioned in the intro that, you know, you're one of the co-organizers of the WordPress meetup group in Edinburgh. And I'm guessing that's what you're talking about in terms of, like, in the meetup group. Typically, you have a wide variety of people, not just all developers. So you're kind of picking brains from different people and then apply it to your own business, really, pretty much. And I kind of learned from that as well. I think from the meetup group myself, I picked up so much that I wouldn't have picked up any other way. And you're right, it probably would have taken me another 2-3 years of practicing and playing around by myself until I managed to do it myself. But it's a good point. I think that's what I try to mention to everyone who, not just using WordPress, but whatever niche you are in, whatever industry you're in, you have to network, I think, in my opinion. Could be online, could be offline, it doesn't matter, but you can gain a lot. And I'm not saying, obviously, you shouldn't just network to take. You have to contribute, but I definitely see the value of networking, which makes sense from what you're saying. So
yeah,
it's very true.
I mean, as a sort of somebody without any real business background or really any interest in ever being a business person, you know, networking always had a little bit of a dirty connotation, like, you know, yeah, it's like fake friends kind of thing. But yeah, and I think there probably is a lot of that sort of like churn where you're just meeting people, but you're not really establishing relationships of any kind. Maybe that works for some people, but like that's not the kind of networking that I do, and I don't think it's the kind of networking that works in the WordPress space for sure. The community is very friendly and is very interested in chatting and stuff. I mean, I found it wasn't just the local meetups, although those have been really helpful. Initially, I just sort of took all these people that I was following on Twitter and stuff who were related to WordPress, and I just would, you know, they would post something and I would engage with it. You know, I wasn't like giving them a pitch or anything. It was just they made this comment and I made a joke about it, and that went on for a while until some people started like recognizing my face because I was that guy that had popped up in their Twitter feed 2 or 3 times. You know, and then over time I started talking more and more to, you know, sort of leaders within the community who had a lot of sort of experience, or you could chat about what was good or bad about things and learned a lot from that. And then the meetup is, as you say, because it's this mix of people, it's really good at keeping you grounded in how everyday people are using your products. Because as developers, we kind of have our own set of problems that we want to solve and things we like and things we don't like. But your average user is really a completely different, they're having a completely different experience with WordPress. And I think that's, you know, you can call it networking, you can call it market research, you can call it whatever you want, but actually talking to people who are kind of everyday users within the space that you're selling a product or a service within, that makes a huge difference. I feel like that's what I was talking about. It's not just that it helps my profit line in some way, but it's that it makes my products a lot better because I'm talking to people and I'm learning about their experiences and then translating that knowledge to the products I'm building. So,
yeah, I agree. Definitely. Makes sense. So then you mentioned earlier about how, you know, as a solopreneur, you have to learn many things, affiliate marketing, content, and so on. What would you say is your biggest strength?
Coding.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably obvious, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which makes sense in a way. If you're a developer, you focus on your strengths and you're building something with your skill, which
yeah,
it makes sense.
I would say that honestly, none of those things are my strength. Probably somewhere that I excel, that's easier to excel at, like it takes less investment to excel at, was the affiliate marketing. And that's because particularly in my product space, there's already a kind of existing affiliate infrastructure. So it's quite easy to identify high value people, reach out to them, convince them to become affiliates and list my stuff. And all you really needed was perseverance for that. Like, I just annoyed the hell out of them. I just blasted them until they finally sort of got back to me. And I'm good at that. I worked as a journalist for many years, so a few years, but I learned how to just keep calling until they pick up the phone kind of thing. But in terms of the other stuff, like, I think I'm terrible with content marketing. I do blog and I have a newsletter and I think I put out high value content, but Google doesn't necessarily agree. And probably end users don't necessarily agree. I don't know if I have the right personality to connect over a blog with a lot of people, like a large market. I'm not sure that that would ever be one of my strengths. In terms of SEO, I just think the market is really competitive. You have to be a pretty big fish, and I'm not a big fish, and I don't really want to be a big fish. I mean, it comes back to coding, but one place I think I've been really successful is my plugin suite, which is free. So it becomes a huge channel for onboarding people to my brand and everything. And I think I've been pretty successful at getting those plugins out there and in use. I don't know if that really answers your question, but
no, we've got a fair idea about it. I think I was going to ask you about, you know, what are your biggest weaknesses as well, but you've mentioned a few things. So everyone has weaknesses. So how do you go around it? You know, what do you do to not let it affect you too much?
Well, my main strategy is not becoming overly reliant on one channel, inbound channel, particularly in the WordPress space, because things can kind of change overnight. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there were loads of small-time theme operators, and nowadays they're really struggling because the market has just shifted. So one of the ways I deal with being bad at content marketing and things like that is that I invest in lots of different streams all at once, and I'm not overly reliant on one, and I haven't bet everything on one. So I've got a lot of different inbound channels. Many of them maybe aren't the traditional marketing channels that a solopreneur or entrepreneur might go through. Many of them are WordPress specific. Like I'm listing on WordPress specific sites or listing in the official WordPress plugin repository or things like that. The traditional ones of content marketing and SEO and stuff like that are probably my weakest points. And I guess like with SEO and content marketing, I kind of just keep doing it and hope that it works out at some point. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not like it's a total failure. I just don't know if I'm really getting my investment back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's a tricky one. I've had a lot of people asking me a similar question to yourself, and there are ways around it. There are, you know, a few techniques you can do here and there, but sometimes you need someone who is a complete expert in that field who has been doing it day in, day out. So I can sympathize for the everyday user, or, you know, everyone who's not in the industry. It's tricky and it's confusing and it's complicated and changes all the time. So yeah, I know what you mean.
I think
it's hard.
I think I sort of taken on board one of the things that you said at a presentation at our local meetup a while ago, which was that if you just make good content, like that's what Google is trying to evaluate for. You know, it does it in all these various different ways. But ultimately, if you write good content and people appreciate that content, you know, that's what Google is trying to measure. So I've stopped sort of paying too much attention to, you know, figuring out all the right technical things. And I've tried to focus on just writing really useful content. And, you know, we talked earlier about sort of what sort of strategies do I have. And one of them that I have is to compile, is to start compiling sort of the guide to this for restaurants kind of thing, where I really get down and I lay out like a bunch of effective strategies for accomplishing it. Like what should restaurants do on Yelp? And I just want to break it down in as much detail as I can. You know, how can you drive more reviews there? How can you do, you know, so I think that's the sort of direction I want to move in with my content marketing, because I've often been a little bit lazy with it. But I figure even if I only come out with something every month or two, if it's high value, that's good. And even if Google doesn't decide it's high value, if I know it's high value and I can sell it to my customers as high value, you know, I'm not necessarily selling it, but if I can say, look, like, buy with me because I'm the person who's really going to help you as a restaurant, you know. Yeah. Joe Themer over there, who's got 20 different themes that are all serving different markets, he's not invested in the restaurant space. I'm invested in the restaurant space. And this body of work I've produced is my proof that I am, kind of thing.
I totally agree with you. I think this is a point that content marketing, this sort of thing, is not just about gaining traffic. But it's also about becoming an authority, and by using content, you can establish yourself as an authority in a specific field. And that's, you know, what you said, it makes sense. And if that's the direction you're going, I would definitely agree with that, and that people will see you as the guy to go for restaurant themes, and you're not going to go to a generic WordPress theme who hasn't really talked much about WordPress and restaurant WordPress theme and stuff like that. So I can definitely agree with that. I think go for that direction.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we get to, you know, just to wrap it up and stuff like that, just what advice would you say to those who want to start their own theme business, WordPress theme business? It's very competitive, probably getting more and more competitive all the time. You've got people like Theme Forest who are just eating up the whole market. But people still want to start their own theme business. People still creating their own themes. What advice would you say to those who want to start their own WordPress theme business?
I still think it's very possible. I think it's not possible to just build creative portfolio theme and chuck it out on Theme Forest and do very well with it. Many of the themers who are doing very well on ThemeForest, they're not just like a solopreneur guy. We're talking teams of between 5 and 15 people who are putting out mega themes and then doing a lot of promotional work around it. And really, to make much money on ThemeForest, you've got to scale big, fast. I still think that there's loads of opportunity for niche providers of not just themes, but think of what you're providing as a full sort of solution for a niche. Actually get to know that niche, think about what they need that's more than just a regular website. You know, what, like one of the plugins I have is, it's called Business Profile, and it just outputs business contact details in schema.org markup. Now this markup, which is sort of Google rich snippet stuff, it gets fed into Google's like listing results when people are doing local searches. So if you search for a restaurant, you'll notice sometimes it'll tell you the opening hours and things like that. Like that's a really easy way to provide added value to the restaurant niche. And it's also a really valuable way. So if you're gonna think about getting into the theme space, you should be thinking about what added value you can provide to your niche that others can't. And then you just got to be sort of willing to stick with it, because a lot of people won't care. You know, the theme market has ingrained habits about what it's expecting and what it wants. And it takes a long time to build up, sort of collect people who recognize what it is you're doing and value that. You know, I've got quite a few customers now who come back to me and who I've had really good conversations with. And usually they are working regularly with restaurants. You know, they're not your average sort of web developer who's doing a restaurant today and an NGO tomorrow or whatever. But the people who are invested in restaurants, they see the extra value. And that just takes a while to get there. to build up that customer base, but it can definitely be done. And I think it's definitely where you have to go if you want to build a theme business in WordPress today.
I like that. Really good advice. Added value. That's a really good point. There's too many people out there. If you're going to be just another voice in the industry, you can't stand out. So I like that advice very much. Well, I mean, I can go on asking you more and more questions. I think we can go on for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about this. But
I think we have gone on for a long time at our WordPress.
Yeah, we can do that. Maybe another time. Yeah. We can talk about other subjects, but it's been very, very useful. I do appreciate your time being here.
Yeah.
Very, very insightful stuff. If people want to find you or connect with you on social media, find your website, where can they go?
Yeah, go buy my restaurant stuff at themeofthecrop.com. And
smooth like that.
Yeah, and I tweet at NateWR. Or is it at NateW? Wow, that's funny. I don't even know my Twitter account. It's at NateWR, sorry. those are probably the only two places to really look for me. But I'm very active on Twitter. If you tweet me, I'll tweet you back. I'll say something, as long as you're not mean to me.
Sounds good. And I'll put all that detail in the show notes. Nate, again, thank you very much for your time. And I hope you can come back again and we can talk more about where you are and how you've been progressing. But it's been really, really good to chat to you. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And that is it. Thank you again, Nate, for coming to the show. Really, really enjoyed talking to you, and thank you for sharing your insights. I really enjoyed interviewing Nate. One thing I picked up from the whole thing is about being a niche provider, and also about adding value to your niche market. It doesn't have to cost much to you, but it can have huge value to your customers. I like that, and I'm going to take that on board as well. Thank you for listening to this episode. Check out the show notes on igniterock.com/episode2 and for details about the show. In the meantime, I would like to ask you one thing. If you could leave a review, I would be so, so grateful to you. Next time, I will be talking to a couple of guys who are building a community online using their passion and interest, get this, theme parks and Disney. Very, very unique, very, very niche, but it's so interesting. I actually really, really had a lot of fun talking to you guys, but learned a heck of a lot from them too. So make sure you listen to that. In the meantime, you know the score. Let's rock with WordPress.